I guess I didn't even realize till we got into this study how important optics and photonics is to a nation, how essential it is for everything you do. And I'll say a little bit more about that in the background. We were doing some email earlier, and one of the people said, you know, when I was talking about essential technologies over the email, saying, do you mean to say that optics and photonics is as ubiquitous as the computer? And my response was, no, 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 it's much more ubiquitous. It's much more pervasive. Because the computer uses integrated circuits that are made with optics and photonics. It has a display that's optics and photonics. But there's so many other things, and we'll say a little bit more about that. Statement of task, you know, review the things that have happened since harnessing light, identify opportunities, assess the current state of the art in the United States and the rest of the world. Prioritize grand challenges, and we ended up coming up with five of them, and recommend actions. I want, like, thanks to a number of people who sponsored us. Alan Wilner, my co-chair, said, as far as the study team, that we had a dream team. And one of the things that's neat about this is all the people that we had involved with this. I mean, these are a lot of the top folks in optics and photonics across the country, and so it was really neat to be involved, and I think we had people covering all sorts of areas. That said, one of the things I didn't realize, even with 16 people and all very good people, we were thin in certain areas. That says how pervasive optics and photonics is. Like, you know, you take biophotonics. You know, Tom Baer knows a lot about it. Milton Chang knows somewhat. But the reality is we were thin in that area. You know, we've got 10 chapters in the report, and one's an introduction and one is economic. But so we've got 8 different subject area chapters. Well, that says there's on average 2 people per area, but there really isn't, because 4 of these people have more of an economic background. So you could do a study, a National Academy of Science study, just in biophotonics, for example. You know, so, as I said, the breadth, the impact on our nation in all these different areas really hit me as we go through and think about just spreading these people out over the breadth of optics and photonics. Motivation for the study, there's been a lot. Since harnessing light, there's been a lot of changes. We were just coming into the top of the telecom bubble. After the telecom bubble, then it went down, but a lot of other things came up. Like if you go to Photonics West, which has almost 20,000 people at it, there's a whole meeting on biophotonics, you know, that occurs over the weekend. And so we are much more diverse than we were at that point in time. And a fun fact there at the bottom is that roughly 12 of the 15 best inventions in 2011 by time were optics and photonics related. Challenges. It is such, you know, the breadth of it is why it has such an impact. And people don't realize the impact it has. But at the same time, that breadth, as I said, was a real challenge. People don't understand the role of optics and photonics, say in a computer, say in the internet. Also, nobody keeps track. And, you know, there's no NAICS code that says, oh, I'm an optical engineer. And so it's hard to get data to say, well, how many people are working on optics and photonics? And even if you do, there's a question, where do you stop counting? Actually, something along those lines in terms of economic impact. I'll talk about economic impact in a little bit. But Tom Baer and Schlichter, I don't know the other guy who did it, but for LaserFest, they did a little thing where they said that between 2009 and 2010, there was $4.9 billion spent in 3 areas. Transportation, which is like laser welding and stuff for cars, the internet, and then biophotonics. That $4.9 billion, by their counting, created $7.5 trillion worth of the United States gross domestic product over 2 years, about a quarter of the gross domestic product. And that's just lasers. Now, the problem is, where do you stop counting? So even if we had a NAICS code, and even if you said, okay, everybody working on that $4.9 billion, you know, raise your hand, and then we'll count up and see how many people are in optics and photonics, and then we can go talk to the politicians and say, see how important this is, you're completely missing the boat. You're not getting 1% of the impact that we really had. Google had, you know, you don't think of Google as being an optics company. Do you realize there's over 1 million lasers in every Google data center? Over 1 million lasers. Google can't exist without optics. And then, of course, everything is transmitted over the fibers. You know, so it's one of those things that we have had a difficult task trying to figure, okay, what is optics and photonics? What's the impact? And the good news, we had four people with economic training, because while the original harnessing light study was really a great study, you know, if you're a congressman or something, you don't care about all this techie stuff. You want to know about jobs. You want to know about high-tech edge. You want to know how's the U.S. compare against Germany, against China, whatever else. So we needed the economists to help translate it into a message that we can communicate with a lot of the decision makers. Let's see, what do we have? Goals, you know, the United States has been a leader. That's not a God-given right. We aren't going to necessarily always be a leader. We have to work to do that. And I think we can work to do that, and I think in addition to that, we can have a greener economy, and we can have a competitive United States in the future. Study outline. You can see we've got introduction, impact on the economy, and then we go through various areas, communications and data storage. That's an area, obviously, it's big, it's obvious, it's the internet, defense and security, energy, health and medicine, advanced manufacturing. Ed White, who's over there, you know, did a lot of, we all were authors of all of it, but he was a little more of an author of the advanced manufacturing part. Advanced photonic measurements and applications, strategic materials, and displays. This is a message to you folks out there that are optics and photonics folks. I probably won't use this chart, you know, when we're talking to the folks in Congress or whatever else, but there's hooks in there. You know, there's the grand challenges and there's key recommendations, but there's also the recommendations in each chapter. There's a lot of things and there's findings in each chapter. I encourage you to go into the study and find the things that you really feel are important and use them the way you would use them. The other thing I would say is we did what we did in this study, and I think we did a good job. I think we came up with a lot of things, but this study is to some degree the beginning of a campaign that I think the optics and photonics community should have in order to use this as a lever to convince the community about the importance of optics and photonics, the fact that it is essential to our nation. Example grand challenges. Develop a seamless integration of, I don't know if you can see that or not. Could you guys see that reasonably well? There's a little bit of a problem. No, okay. So in any event, maybe I'd read this. Develop a seamless integration of photonics and electronics components and mainstream and a mainstream platform for low-cost fab and packaging of systems on a chip for communication, sensing, medical, energy, and defense. Think about those Google data centers with a million lasers in them, and there's fibers between them. Right now, you get a fiber that comes up to a detector. It then is converted to an integrated circuit, and then it's converted back to optics. Wouldn't you rather have one photonic IC in there? You know, and we're going to need things like that. I think one of my charts later says that like 1.5% or 2% of the energy in the United States goes into those data centers. And yet the number of searches we're doing is going up and up and up. You don't want it to hit 20%. You got to do it more efficiently. So if you can invent the photonic ICs, then you can do things faster, you can do things more efficient. Number two, develop military platforms capable of wide area surveillance, exquisite object identification, high bandwidth free space communication, laser strike and defense against missiles. You know, the airborne ballistic laser, ABL, successfully shot down a missile. Right now, the Department of Defense doesn't have a next-gen goal. They don't have a next-gen vision. Well, but if you're going to put big optics up there anyway, then exquisite surveillance for the 99.99999% of the time that you're not shooting at something is really, really good. The person who knows what's going on is going to win any war. So if we can have exquisite surveillance and high bandwidth laser comm, and, oh, by the way, you could do a laser weapon all with optics, that would be a really, really wonderful development from a military point of view. Develop optical sources and imaging tools to support an order of magnitude increase in manufacturing. People talk about EUV for lithography, and they've been working on it. What's next after EUV? The other thing about it, we talk a fair amount, and Ed wrote a fair amount, about additive manufacturing. For those of you who aren't familiar with it, it's 3D printing, where rather than taking a hunk of something and then gouging it out, you know, you just, you layer by layer, build it up. Just like your printer, you know, where you've got little pixels, little dots, now we have 3D voxels, and you can print something, and you can print a ham or whatever else. Right now, you can't print optics with it. Why can't you print optics with it? We're using optics to create it. You know, you're using lasers, laser sintering, you know, in order to get the resolution to make these 3D voxels. But right now, those are on the order of tens of microns. Tens of microns isn't good enough to do optics. Imagine if you could print an optical lens. Just print the doggone thing. Well, now, what about if you could print the lens? Why can't I print a whole camera? Why can't I print a whole laser radar system? Why can't I print, you know, print a whole, say, laser countermeasure system all in one shot? You know, why do I have to fab all these things and put them together? Why can't I just hit print? I CAD-CAM the thing, I hit print. Maybe you put a few photonic ICs in there after you're done. But it's all done, one print button. Isn't that a neat vision? Now, we got to have shorter wavelength lasers in order to be able to do that, which could also be used for the manufacturing of integrated circuits. Then next one, invent the technologies for the next factor of 100, cost-effective capacity increases in our optical network. We had one meeting of our committee. We had Google, Facebook, and Apple in the room at the same time. They all agreed that the internet was going to hit a growth wall between 2013 and 2014. There's been a factor of 100 increase in the bandwidth of the internet every decade since its inception 20 years ago, a little over 20 years ago. We don't know where the next 100 is coming from after you get to about 2013, 2014. WDM, wave division multiplexing, is the thing we're working on right now. We know that'll get us to, you know, between 2013, 2014. And people are looking at other things like spatial multiplexing and fibers and various other techniques. But the reality is we don't know how we're going to do it. If it was 30 years ago, Bell Labs would have solved that. IBM Watson Labs would have solved that. But we don't have those labs today in the United States that are doing those long-term things. And Google, Facebook, and Apple all said, yeah, we know it's a problem, but, you know, we don't do that more esoteric, longer-term research anymore, or ever, you know, in their companies. By the way, we might be willing to join a consortium where we each throw some money in and we attack it jointly. You know, but, okay, I'm going to move along here a little bit. I see you standing up. Okay, impact on the national economy. Photonics is a key enabling technology. I'm going to move on a little bit. National Photonics Initiative, this is a big deal. This is a big recommendation. I would like every one of you, if you can, to contact your congressman, to, you know, whatever, to really try and push for the National Photonics Initiative. Various global data centers. Global data centers are a big deal. All of them are in the United States right now. That we won't necessarily be able to maintain that lead, but we should think about it and try and do the things we can. For biomedical, there's lots of things. The immune system is one of the big areas. Better understanding of the immune system would be really, really great. I don't see it on the charts here, but the genome sequencing, it's all done with optics and photonics. Do you realize that there's an XPRIZE out there right now for somebody to make a gadget that will end up being able to diagnose 15 diseases better than a panel of experts? Wouldn't you like to be able to have the tricorder like they used in Star Trek, you know, and be able to do something along those lines? Let's see, additive manufacturing, we really got to do that. I'm going to go through some of the rest. Workforce is a big deal. The United States, I mean, of course, I'm a big advocate. I think we really need to get all the immigrants that we can, but we also need to get U.S. nationals going into science and technology. I grew up in the defense industry. Well, if you want to get a secret clearance for somebody, you can't end up, you know, bringing somebody in from overseas and getting them a clearance right away. Education is a really big deal. It's important. Summary, and then I've got one or two more charts real quickly after this. Optics and photonics are critical enablers. We need the National Photonics Initiative, and the U.S. needs to compete. I can assure you that they're downloading this report in Germany. They're downloading it in China. We need to download it. We need to take action. I'm very encouraged by the fact that Rochester is deciding to make Rochester's plan for how you guys are going to use this in order to create jobs. This is a chart I just made up over the last few days. The August 30th issue of USA Today on the front page had a little chart, which you probably can't see real well. Expense is too important to give up. You know, with the economy going bad, these are the things that people think are too important, they have to have them. What do they have on there? Internet connection, driving, pet, cable TV, and mobile telephone. Well, internet connection, that sure depends on photonics. I mean, it all goes through fibers and all that sort of thing. For your car, well, laser welding. You make your car with laser welding. It's got integrated circuits in it, all made with photonics. Don't forget your glasses so you can't drive.
It depends on your eyes also.
It does depend on your eyes. It sure does. Yes, yes. You know, the audio system, there's a lot of things with driving that depend on optics and photonics. Cable TV comes over a fiber. It's displayed on one of these big liquid crystal TVs probably. Those are all optics. The mobile phone. Your mobile phone, I mean, these things, they're made with laser manufacturing, or with where you're cutting things and stuff like that. Obviously, it's got a display. It's got lighting in there. The chest be very efficient, so you want solid-state lighting. Once it gets to the cell tower, it's going to go into those fibers, you know, and it's got integrated circuits in it. So the only thing I came down with is I'm not sure I can claim the PET for optics and photonics.
Yes.
Unless you take it to the vet.
Yes.